Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
It gets so hard just trying to figure it out, fighting down. Trying to believe God, trying to watch the words of my mouth and stay on the ride. Trouble come and go, even on the mountain high or the valley low. Never let your faith go.
Oh, never let your faith go.
I've been there before, so confused, don't know which way to go. Stressed out, world so crazy, might as well stay in the house. Fear trying to rise up, got terrorists in the sky.
They look like us, but we know who we trust. Just when I say that we go.
In these last days, evil times will come, and it's here today. Look at all the hate, senseless crime and murder.
Day, day.
Human trafficking, racism, police brutality, bullying, rape, trouble the same.
Shame of the people.
Let your kingdom come, let your will be done.
In the earth,
let your glory rise, let your sun shine.
Let it burn.
God Allah. I want to go to something real quick. Because, you know, they'll block us, they'll knock us off, they'll mute me, they'll mute you, they'll do whatever they do, static in the lines or whatsoever, cut us off or whatever. So I want to get as much as I can done today. And we'll try to have a show Thursday. Listen, let me talk to you about this. I believe I have a dentist appointment. I'm not sure. I haven't checked my schedule yet, but I believe I have a dentist appointment around 11, 10 or 11 Thursday. I'm not sure. But if I do not have the dentist appointment, Wednesday night I'll put up part 3 because we're going to do a three-part series of Blackout, the Western World's New Reality. If not, then we'll make up for that, okay? But if I don't do a live show, please still come to the Star and Crescent Report because I'll put a replay on that'll have everything to do with what we're going to discuss, what we have discussed and what we're going to discuss in part 3, okay? And also go sign up to the Hiram's 1555 blog and become a member. It's free. If you like, become a premium member. And if you like, go to the Red Pill Diaries and sign up and become a member of the Red Pill Diaries. Some of the stuff over there is free. The other stuff, you can sign up to be a member. They're $3 and $7 membership. It helps to keep us on the air, and it helps us to continue to give the truth on a daily basis, okay? And we appreciate it if you do it, and if you do it with love, and if you don't do it, we still appreciate your ear, your time, because things are just getting out of control for this white man and his world. Now, I wanted to start on the economics of what is going on today, but before that, I want to backtrack a little bit, because I was watching the weather, and we have been having all types of crazy weather in America, and I heard some black people talking the other day, and they were complaining about how one minute it's raining, and the next minute it is boiling hot, and then the next minute it's flooding, and the next minute the weatherman will tell you this, and you go outside with your shorts on, and it's freezing cold in the midst of winter, and they are dissatisfied. They're hurt about that, and they don't realize that all of this is in preparation for the deliverance of them and for the beatdown and chastisement of those who oppress them and who keep them in confinement, okay? So I want to, before I play a clip, because I'm going to play a few clips back to back, I want to read something to you. And when I read this stuff, this will give you an understanding of why these things are taking place, because a lot of you don't understand. You hear the white man say something and you regurgitate it without ever giving it a second thought, without ever connecting it to scripture, theology, or prophecy, and this is your downfall. This is why you continue to have this Eurocentric mind. Or this Eurocentric thought, thinking that you'll be able to build something or do something in America 20 years and 40 years out, because you hear this white man continually repeat to you that we'll be such and such in 2045 or such and such in 2065. That says to me that you believe that he's going to outlast prophecy. That says to me that you believe that somehow, regardless of you calling him a devil, you believe that he has some type of grip on power that can rebuff and also diminish God's plans. That's crazy. But besides that, let's go to something. Here, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, the great and terrible day of God has come, and as it is written in the Revelation of John, in the last book in your Bible, who will be able to stand? I say, my friend, there is none that can stand in this day and time that we are now suffering the lashes of nature. Listen closely. We are now suffering the lashes of nature. All nature now has been turned against America to war against her and destroy her in sight. Everything is armed for the destruction of America. See, everything. I don't understand how you let this slip away. Let us go to the dictionary, okay? We're going to go to the dictionary, and we're going to see what this means, okay, dictionary, and we're going to read out what this means so that you'll get an understanding of what he means. According to the dictionary, Google's dictionary, the word everything is a pronoun, right? And we already know what a pronoun is, right? Some of you don't. Okay. We already know what a pronoun is. The word everything means all things, not some things, not part of the things, not most of the things, right? Not a few things, but all things. All the things of a group or a class. Excuse me. And it says, the current situation, life in general, all things in life, or all things in the current situation that we now see ourselves in, here in America and around the globe. So when God says, through the mouth of his apostle, everything is on for the destruction of America. Her wealth, listen to what he's giving you some of the loaded bullets in the chamber. Her wealth, her money, as the James teaches you around the fourth or fifth chapter, warns the rich man, go and weep for the miseries that is coming upon him. You have done injustice to the poor so-called American Negro. You have laid his hire, his wages. You have put them up, buried them in mountains, sent them out of your country to another friend of yours, storing it up to pay off your enemies of yours when they come against you. They don't accept your pay today. They have wealth. They don't want yours. Now, no way can you pay it off your doom. It is set, bound to come to pass. Poor America, as one writer says, woe to the land that is shadowed with wings, with planes. It is America full of planes that this is talking about. I'm stopping right here because I want to get to something, okay? Everything, her wealth, all of nature, all of the financial and economic barometers and institutions, all of the political institutions, all of them, and especially the military institutions, are armed against America now. These are loaded weapons pointed at the temple of the empire, right? So again, as I was saying before I got so rudely interrupted by my cell phone, and our people were fickle. I haven't lost my place. Our people are fickle. You know that we go on the air at this time. Why would you call at this time while I'm on the air? Huh? Uncivilized people, I tell you what. We are an uncivilized, crazy people. But anyway, if all of these things are pointed at America, then we get an understanding of why we're seeing the massive floods, why we're seeing the torrential rain, the lightning storm. What was it? A few days ago in Yellowstone National Park, there was over 150 earthquakes recorded in less than a 24-hour span. What about the terrific heat that continues to beat down the breadbasket of America? What about these things? What about them saying that billions of animals in the sea have been killed due to a changing global environment? They're calling it global warming or climate change. Why are all of these things happening now? Huh? Remember, we are now calculating time. So we know when Elijah Muhammad spoke these things. And what we see today, we can calculate the position of the judgment that we are now in because we know when he spoke them. Right? And we expected God to vindicate him by bringing them into fruition and by God bringing these things into the light, the forefront. Because see, when Elijah Muhammad spoke them, you couldn't see them, therefore you didn't understand them, so you doubted him and you mocked him. You couldn't see down the wheel of time. But God had already put those wheels in motion, and we're living in the destruction of America. And some of you don't even realize that we're not just living in the fall and destruction of America. We're living in the fall and destruction of the entire world of mankind. There's something in it. We're looking at the removal of one world order and the merging in of a new world order. That's why the white man is so apt at saying this. And he's constantly saying Russia and China and Iran and Venezuela are challenging the rules-based order. They're challenging the international norms because they understand that their order is being uprooted. And it is not just Russia. It's not just China. It's not just Venezuela. Elijah Muhammad says, what? Everything is armed for the destruction of America. Why America first? Because she's the most wicked, the most vile, the most inhumane, the most deceitful, right? And the most murderous nation of them all. And she holds an entire people of 68 million of God's elect here captive and refuses to allow them righteous understanding, freedom, justice, and equality, and a chance for self-determination even in the midst of her downfall. So now God strikes out after them. Right? And how does he do that? You believe that you got a future with this white man. You live a luxurious life, some of you. You know, you brag on the things that you have all day on Facebook and what is it, Twitter and not Skype, what's the other one? The dancing one, TikTok. You do all that stuff. And you truly believe that 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now, you're going to retire from the company and you're going to buy you a beautiful house and you're going to live and you're going to still be talking about the white man, the devil. That's not how it works, black man, black woman. Time is revealing all things. See, you can hide your inner demons for only for so long. And the white man has been lying to you for so long that you bought into his Eurocentric lies and his ways and his ideas and his culture. And you have been living a culture of death. You have been living his ideas, his ways. And therefore, you have put your brain power, your efforts, your lives at mercy for him to maintain his society, to maintain, that's why some of you right now you think it's the time to go into politics, right? Some of you want to join the government. I can change it from the inside out. How the hell can you change something that is inherently corrupt, let you go to the very basis and core of something, which is just founded? And it is founded on blood. It is founded on slavery. It is founded on bloodshed, deception, and war. Now, unless you're going to go back and change that from the very root, you cannot change a system that is inherently and based by its roots in everything that is the antithesis of freedom, justice, and equality and the upliftment of black people around the world. So God goes to work. He goes to work at him because you still believe in this white man. You say, oh brother, this, and I said, I'm a lake of that. You say it. And at times you mean it. But you say it and you mean it without any understanding, and that could put you in a very bad situation. So God goes to work on the base of this white man. You love being able to go to every store that you want to go to get you whatever you want to get, whenever you want to get it. So what does God do? He goes to work at the base of the stores. He destroys the farmlands. So now your choices are dwindling. He destroys the economics of those stores. And so now you're seeing store after store after store go belly up, go bankrupt. So now your choices are withering down. So when you go into the stores, you see them putting stuff at the front of the shelves, and behind the thing, you think it's 30 products until you remove one thing, and then you recognize that the store is bare. And the prices are shooting up, and the products are getting smaller. This is what God had put in motion to bring this man that you believed in down. Inflation is here. The storms are here. The breadbasket of America is under the judgment of God. And this is only a microcosm of the judgment of America and a microcosm of the judgment of the world of mankind or the world of Yahuwah. And you've got to be able to open up your eyes, shed that Eurocentric mind and thought. And listen, look, learn, and understand the time. Because no matter what we teach on, we never stray from the main subject, which is the theology of time. So we're teaching you the whys and the hows and the whos and the wheres and the whens so that you can prepare for what is going on. Blackout, the Western world's new reality, part two. Now, I want to show you something, what this white man is saying. Because in fall of, I'll say we have arrived. I just read something out of The Science of Time. But in I'll say we have arrived, I believe. There is when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad talked about America and Europe being chastised. Right? And so I want to bring something to your attention. And he talked about these storms that will pummel America and Europe. This is the judgment. This is for you. And you don't really understand it. I'm going to bring something before you, okay? Brothers and sisters, please don't think hard of me. But pay close attention. I think this clip is about 2 minutes, a little over 2 minutes, 2 minutes, 11 seconds. And then we're going to go to something because there is two things I want to bring. Well, maybe more than that, but right now there's two targets in these two clips here. The first one is America. And the second one is Europe. But in this European target, there's a specific target in there that bears witness to what Elijah Muhammad told you to look for and why God would go after that nation, okay? So pay close attention to this first clip, and on the backside of this, we'll come back, we'll elaborate, and we'll play the other clip, all right?
Good evening. Adriana is off. I'm Errol Barnett. We begin tonight with punishing and extreme weather once again putting lives at risk. In the east, thunderstorms are expected to cause torrential downpours across several states. Flash flooding is threatening millions of people. Just look at Newark, New Jersey today after storms rolled through there. And the west cannot catch a break. The red on this map showing where an intense high-pressure heat dome is pushing temperatures well into three-digit territory. CBS's Lilia Luciano in Los Angeles starts off our coverage tonight. Lilia, good evening.
Good evening to you, Errol. Much of the West is under an exceptional drought. Add to that the extreme heat and an already historic fire season, and what you have is a recipe for disaster.
California is sweltering tonight under triple-digit temperatures, straining power grids, and raising the risk of more infernos.
How dire is the situation wildfire-wise in California?
We're in a very extremely dangerous peak. We're just trying to stay ahead of it.
The Tamarack Fire in Northern California grew exponentially overnight, forcing hundreds of evacuations.
There are more than 70 large wildfires burning in 11 states.
Oregon's bootleg fire, almost the size of Los Angeles, is the nation's biggest, and it keeps growing. 1,000 acres an hour, the smoke seen from space and spreading.
I see the heartache, and it breaks my own heart.
Pushing these fires are back-to-back heat waves. This one is the fourth in 5 weeks. Montana and Idaho and the Canadian provinces of Alberta and Saskatchewan are feeling the worst of it. Temperatures this weekend are 20 degrees above normal. In northern Arizona, it's a washout. Flash flooding triggered a state of emergency.
It was raging. Solid mud. It was disgusting.
Starting tomorrow, parts of California will be under a fire weather warning due to the threat from dry lightning. And Errol, that means that already overburdened firefighters are bracing for the worst.
All right, Lilia, thank you.
So now we're not just talking about United States, they were talking about the United States and Canada, which comprises the continent of North America. Is that not right? And we have seen swaths of Canada burn, just like swaths of the United States is burning. We've seen Canada mounted in debt with little to no gold left, right? We're seeing a social explosion going on in Canada between black and white and between the red Indian and the white man, the colonizer. We're seeing all of this stuff going on in Canada, and Canada is mirroring what is taking place in the American heartland. Muhammad says, America, and especially North America, has entered into the time that was predicted by Moses and the prophets between him and Jesus. In the 24th chapter of Matthew, there is a prophecy made by Jesus of the present time of America without mentioning her name. So listen. I'm going to read a little bit more, because even though he talks about North America just generally, and he talks about America specifically, we have to draw parallels to what you just heard, okay? He says he referred to her as to the country as a world, because this part of the earth is referred to in many places by prophets and by Jesus himself as a wilderness. The name America is not yet 500 years old, so the prophets referred to it as a wilderness in their prophecy. It is terrific. I use the word terrible because it is not a thing that can be described as something mild or something that is moving slowly, nor something that can be recognized so easily by the common people. Why? Because they've grown accustomed mentally to processing everything through a Eurocentric mind or thought. So they, even though judgment is in them and at them and is coming on them, they still don't process that because they believe what the white man is saying. Oh, this is climate change. Oh, this is global warming. Oh, this. No, this is the hand of God. That's what it is. And this is the judgment that we now live in. Right? And so, with that said, what do they use? They say, this is a recipe for disaster. Didn't they say that on there? They said this is an exceptional thing. What does the word exceptional mean? It's an adjective. The word exceptional means unusual, not typical, unusually good or bad, right? Outstanding, extraordinary, remarkable, special, abnormal, atypical, uncommon. So what you're witnessing that has jumped the borders of the United States and is in Canada proper, it's something that is uncommon, abnormal, atypical, extraordinary, unusual, remarkable, and outstanding. So they're telling you in their words, see, when this white man talk to you, he talk at you. He talk above you to his fellow brother. They understand. Those in the power and authority, most of them, they understand. And they used another word as they were talking. They said the situation is dire, D-I-R-E, right? According to Google's dictionary, dire is an adjective. And it says of a situation or event extremely serious or urgent, of a warning or threat presaging disaster. And it says similar words. Terrible. What did Elijah Muhammad say? It is terrific. I use the word terrible because it is not a thing that can be described as something mild or something that is moving slowly, nor something that can be recognized so easily by the coming man. So when you use the word terrible, we can use the word in its stead, dire. Right? Because a similar word is terrible, is dreadful, is appalling, is frightful, awful, horrible, atrocious, ominous, portentous, gloomy, doom and gloom, sinister, and grim. So the situation now facing North America is grim. So Muhammad says, America, specifically, and especially North America, has entered into the time that was prophesied by Moses and the prophets between him and Jesus. So we calculate, so we see this, because we just pointed to what they themselves announced. And then we use a breakdown of words and definitions to come to a point. So we are mapping time right now. Right? I hope you're still there. I hope you understand it. Okay? So with that said, we'll go a little further because, remember, they use gloom in its stead. They use dreadful, right, in its stead. As a matter of fact, let's see the definition again. It says, of a situation or event extremely serious or urgent, of a warning or threat presaging disaster. Similar words, terrible, remember these words now. Terrible. Dreadful. Appalling. Frightful. Awful. Horrible. Atrocious. Ominous. Portentous. Gloomy. Doom and gloom. Sinister. And grim. Muhammad goes further and says, it is clear to all who can see that America has reached the stage about which she has been warned, always been warned. She has always wanted to keep it a secret. See, this is what Elijah Muhammad said at the beginning. The average person don't recognize it. Why? Because they are so overcome with sport and play. They're so overcome with the preoccupations that this life under this man brings. So you're so focused on trying to pay a bill, or you're so focused on trying to get relief from the tragedy or from whatever had just happened to you or happened to your family, that you are not focusing on the true situation that is very dire. So Muhammad Golden says, it is clear to all who can see that America has reached the stage about which she has always been warned. So, for those who can see well. If I got my eyes, I can see what's going on. I see the fire. I see the mudslides. I see the rain. I see the drought. Right? But my mind has been inundated with the Washington Post. My mind has been inundated with 24-hour TV sport and play. So my mind has static blocking the signal of the judgment. Right? That's what most people are going through. Right? So they can't. They have two eyes, but they can't readily see because they cannot pick up the signal. It's like a radio. You got all of these stations on there. But sometimes, if you're in the wrong place, or you're in the wrong area, or there's a storm coming, or there's electromagnetic interference, it scrambles the signal. So even though the signal is out there for everyone to pick up, every station or every radio don't pick it up. All right, let's go further. He says, she always wanted to keep it a secret because of her so-called Negro slaves. So she didn't want you to understand that judgment was after her. She didn't want you to understand that God is bringing her to her knees. She didn't want you to understand that she was not going to survive. She wasn't going to have power. She wasn't going to be the superpower, have the wealth and the influence that she once had. Without question. Because she wanted you to look to her as the supreme power. That's why she demands everyone else around the globe, even her peer nations, to bow to her dictates, to her rule. It is a provocation in her eyes that Russia dares send a warplane in its own airspace to prevent her from going in Russia's airspace. That is a provocation to her, she says. Russia sent a warplane that did dangerous maneuvers. Well, what the hell was it when they sent it? Oh, we were 12 miles away from Russia. Well, why isn't your warplane on their doorsteps provocative? Why is it the other way around? Why is it provocative for Russia to have war games in the seas next to its territory of waters? But it's not provocative for you to go 4,000 miles away and flex your military muscle. You're being belligerent, Russia. You're being belligerent, China. It's amazing, right? But this is the mind of the Eurocentric person. They're not processing things right because the atmosphere is polluted. Their spiritual and mental atmosphere is polluted, and it is blocking the divine signals from getting through to that radio in your head. Okay? So Muhammad says, and this was not even the point I was going down, but since it's here and God has taken me this way, we're going to go that way. You can't go wrong with God's guidance. He says, she never desired for a slave to know too much of what was in store for her. Because of her enslaving and mistreating her slaves, she has reared them for the past 400 years and she knows them. She knows how they think and how they react to her teachings. And she knows their fear of her. She knows her slaves. But the slaves do not know America, their slave master. Listen to this part right here. So it's going to go back to that word dire, okay, and those similar words that's given in the definition. Remember, terrible, dreadful, appalling, frightful, awful, horrible, atrocious, ominous, portentous, gloomy, doom and gloom, sinister, and grim. Those are words that are similar to and can be substituted for the word dire. So Muhammad says, the great, dreadful. What was the second word in that definition? Dreadful, right? So he says the great and dire and awful. That's the dire word. Or the fifth word in that definition. So now we have three of the words in the definition right here. Because we already talked about the word terrible. And now we're talking about dreadful. And we're talking about awful. And now we have a fourth one. Doom. The great dreadful. An awful day or doom is now in the doors and windows of America. Stop right there. So in this chapter, he is describing a situation that is very terrible, something that is dire, a situation or event that it is extremely serious or urgent for you to be forewarned about, right? And it is of a warning, of a threat, or something that is presaging disaster, according to the dictionary, right? So now we have that understanding. We can now see why America is under the economic threat of collapse. We can understand why she's now inflating her housing bubble, her car bubble, and all of these other bubbles. Because she's trying to maintain something. She don't want her ex-slaves to know the dire or the dreadful or the awful situation that is now presaging her because the ex-slave would rise up. So she's telling you, oh, this will pass. Oh, inflation is transitory. It's transitory. So we don't have to worry about it. We'll be back in a few. We'll pump more debt. We'll do this. We'll do that. And we're going to send you out some checks. Everything will be fine. She's fooling you because she has a host of destructions that is on her doorway. And this is not just isolated to America. Because remember, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad describes three nations specifically, but two nations that he calls the two most wicked of the white race, excuse me. And that one is America, number one. And number two, he talked about the German. And they too would fall under the judgment. So when we say America's under judgment, we already know that Britain or the UK or England or whatever the hell you want to call it, from all of this side words, it's one and the same with America. So as America goes, so too goes the UK. So there are two daughters of Babylon. So when we describe the destruction of one, we describe the destruction of both. So we put those two in the same pot. But Muhammad brings up that other nation that would fall under that judgment because of her wicked ways and her actions. All right? I want you to listen to this devastation that has now ravaged Europe. And listen to who is getting hit hard, okay? Just 4 minutes. Pay close attention.
And though the flooding's now spread to eastern Germany, it is the west of the country that's been hit the hardest, both in terms of the human toll and infrastructure as well. The German Chancellor Angela Merkel did pay a visit to some of the affected areas.
The German language barely has the words to describe the devastation inflicted. But from what I've seen, it's incredibly heartening to see how people are coming together, how they are helping each other, and the solidarity that exists.
Here in Ahrweiler in the state of Rhineland-Palatinate, it's one of the worst affected areas by the flooding. You can see over to my left on this building where the water actually reached well above my own head. The job for people here right now is cleaning up following this disaster. You can see just behind me as people have taken all of their belongings from their houses, putting them out on the streets, everything covered with that thick brown sludge, that mud that the rainwaters, the floodwaters brought with them when they came into people's homes.
Extreme heavy downpours started on Wednesday and saw months worth of rainfall in a matter of hours. People in these towns say it was beyond their worst nightmares.
Several people are dead. The bridge over the Ahr was destroyed. All the bridges in all the towns have been swept away. People don't have anything to eat or drink. There is mud and sludge everywhere. Everything is damaged and many houses have collapsed. It's the biggest disaster that's ever happened here. It's worse than a war zone.
The speed at which the waters rose caught a lot of people off guard. This, coupled with it being the middle of the night, seems to have contributed to the number of people killed in this disaster. Electricity and mobile phone networks were shut down by the rising water. With no way of contacting the outside world, no one knew who was missing and who didn't have connection. Local officials in Arvila said around 1,300 people were missing on Friday. Thankfully, that number is decreasing as communication networks are restored.
It all happened very quickly last night and lasted about 20 minutes. First, the manhole covers came up and then the water level rose up to the windows. The windows burst and within 2 minutes the whole house was flooded with water 2 meters high. I think it will take at least 2 or 3 years to clear everything up.
Lena Brenner and her family were asleep when water from the river, usually half a kilometer away, started to flood the lower floors of their home.
I heard screaming outside, and then my dad, he screamed. I went outside downstairs, and there was already like water flooding into our, like downstairs. It was like so fast that we just grabbed stuff and tried to get out of there. I think it was like maybe 15 to 20 minutes till the water came up to here. So if you're sleeping and then the water comes in, you can't open the door. You're just in your room and you're drowning. I can't even describe the feeling. You see your house destroyed, or it's going to be destroyed. This never happened before. It's like, I don't know, nobody could even prepare for this.
One blessing is that no more rain has fallen in this area in recent days. What that means is that the cleanup operation can get underway. But it's going to be a painful and arduous process, and it will be a long time before any sense of normalcy returns to these towns. As water continues to be pumped from the lower floors of buildings in the path of the flooding, people here are slowly coming to terms with a tragedy which has killed so many and left many, many more with their homes in ruins. Peter Oliver, RT, in Arweiler, Germany.
So, Mama says, the black man in America is now suffering. Now, this goes hand in hand with this, so give me a chance to bring it home, okay? I know I just started off with the black man in America, but just give me... You know your brother didn't steal your wrong before, so I'm not going to do it now. So remember what you just heard, these things that never happened before. How terrible and how terrific and how unaware these people were caught slipping, right? Excuse me. So listen, the black man in America is now suffering under the falsehood of his enemies while truth is being sounded in his ears. So we see this stuff and we hear this stuff. Mama says he sees the evidence of it with his eyes, yet he would like it to be a lie. See, you see this stuff, but you don't want to pay attention to it because you are lost in this world. You can say, assalamu alaikum, you can get cleanly shaved. I can't get cleanly shaved all the time. I'm a Muslim, and I'm a great follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, but my skin won't allow me to be cleanly shaved all the time. I can do it every once in a while, but I can't do it all the time because I would bump up and my face tightens up, okay? So we all deal with our own burdens. But you can be the shiniest, cleanest person. And you can go to all events and you can, you know, Muhammad this and blah, 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 blah. Yet you are living a lie because you are living contrary to the law. You don't want this to be the truth. You want to believe that the white man is going to be here 50, 60, 70 years down the line, right? And that is a glitch in your makeup. Number says, the main warning of the Holy Quran to those who take the truth for a lie and the lie for the truth is that they are subject to the same type of judgment that these former opponents of Allah were subject to. So now, you being a Muslim does not cover you in this judgment. If you willingly and willfully ignore the signs and the pitfalls, I don't care how good of a driver you are. I don't care if you've had a perfect record all of your life. And it's a stop sign about a quarter mile ahead. You say, hell, I stopped at all the other stop signs. Let me just go through that one. And it's a big 18-wheeler coming, 80 miles an hour. And the mathematics shows us that if you go through that, it hits you smack dead on. Do you think that is good? Because you say, assalamu alaikum, do you believe that that's going to prevent you from being killed? Because you've ignored the warning signs. You willfully ignored what was presented to you, right? So Muhammad goes and says, and how we connect this to Europe, he says, we are now witnessing the truth being spread all over the continent of America and jumping the borders and spreading around the earth. Allah is backing up his coming and presence to defend the horrible plight of the so-called American Negro. There is no, listen to me, I'm getting to it, so bear with me, brothers and sisters. There is no plainer truth that could ever come to both black and white than what Allah and the person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praises are due forever, has delivered to me, whom he chose to deliver this message of truth. The enemy is ever seeking a way to oppose the truth and to take you and me to their doom. There's another word that's in that definition that I gave you, the definition of dire, right? One of the words is doom. So he says, the enemy is ever seeking a way to oppose the truth and take you and me to their doom if we are foolish enough to give a lie to the truth. Everything, remember that word, everything, encompassing all, right? So he used that word, everything, when he was describing how he would bring the weapons against America. And now he uses everything again. And our Savior has arrived when he says, everything mentioned in the Bible and in the Holy Quran, such as plagues and judgments taking place in ancient times of the Bible and the Holy Quran against the opponents of Allah, is to warn you and me that the same thing is coming upon America and Europe. But America is number one. So what do we witness today? We've witnessed storms and droughts and plagues plaguing America at a terrific rate. And we've witnessed Germany, the number two European economic power. They're the number two economic power. They're the number one Western manufacturer. They're the number two economic power in the Western world. Germany, they're the engine, the economic engine of the European Union. They are being hit hard. How do you destroy a building? Right? You go and you set explosives at the base of the building, the load-bearing column or the load-bearing wall. And when you explode the load-bearing wall, the house itself pancakes down, right? The load-bearing wall of colonialism and global power of the white world is America. So God lays an economic and political and geopolitical dynamite at our base. And they are now exploding, causing unheard of destruction economically and politically and military. That's why Joe Biden keeps talking about America's back, baby. Back where? Huh? Please talk to me. And now you lay the same detonation devices at the core of the European Union. Remember what Elijah Muhammad said, that Europe, the word Europe, EU, these tribes. And they added the R-O-P-E because they were bound in. But they would be given a time to venture around the world. And so they became bold and arrogant about it and dropped the rope. And they started calling themselves the EU again. Right? But now they're being roped back in because of economic constraints, political constraints, because they're opposing powers that are rising that are non-white, that are emerging that are non-Caucasian. So Europe is being rebuffed. That's why you see America and Great Britain and France deploying their warships to Africa and the South China Sea and South America because they're trying to stop the global rebuff of Europe because they are supposed to be isolated to that continent of the hills and caves. Are you following me? Are you listening? All praise is due to Allah for the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. Blackout. The Western world's new reality, part two. And remember, this is a three-part series. So, let's go further, okay? So since we've addressed the part of the plagues, some of the plagues that would hit them, because the plagues are not just killing people, they're damaging property. They're damaging livestock, killing crops, damaging crops. This is into the billions of dollars. Remind you that they are already deficit spending, so they're borrowing. Who are they borrowing from? The same nations that they're colonizing. The same nations that they're destabilizing. The same nations they're trying to put a ring of military bases around. So they're borrowing from their enemies and holding a gun or the barrel of a gun to their enemies or their finances' head. That is crackhead politics. And how long do you believe that that can go on? How long will you finance somebody that keeps coming to your door, kicking in your door, raping your children, beating your wife, beating your brothers, raping your mama, killing half of the household? How many times will you allow that to happen? And then holding you under the threat of killing you? That's what they're doing. I'm just putting it in real terms. So how long would you finance somebody doing that when you have built up the strength to rebuff them, and not only to rebuff them, but to go on the counteroffensive? This is common sense. But since it's not so common today, and we don't do mathematics when we're looking at this stuff, we don't apply common sense to what's going on. Remember, multiplication is get your time you multiply, and you come up with a product. And so what you're doing, you're not analyzing what is actually going on. You're brainwashed, still. And you don't even realize. And it's a shame. And you hate people to tell you the truth. You're arrogant. Oh, that Negro can't tell me nothing. Like me and Rashid often make laughs. We laugh about it. Oh, I put on my pants. He put on his pants one leg at a time like I do. See, that's the mindset that we have. That's that Eurocentric mindset, and we don't even realize that it is so deeply embedded in us that it causes the division, and you're seeking unity, but you don't realize that that mindset is what is causing the disunity amongst us. The gossiping, the lying, the backstabbing, the trying to get over the person. You got to stop this. But I'm going to tell you this, you ain't got to stop it. Just like time is bringing about this, when this judgment becomes more intense and it affects you directly, somebody's going to have to beat that out of you. God's going to take it out of you through the chastisement. Because the messenger said, and his word must stand because he is the ultimate representative of the divine supreme being, just like we were beaten into slavery. Something's got to be what? Beaten out of it. And I bear him witness to that. So, with that said, and we are addressing the economic plight economically when it comes to the destruction by the forces of nature, we also have to go into something and we have to look at something that is major. As a matter of fact, while I'm talking to you, let me get Fall of America. All right? I got to get my Fall of America because I like to have my books with me. All right, here we go. My opinion is on page 44 and 45. I've read this several times and given you a clear understanding of what this means. But nothing could be ever so clear as to the economic environment that America and the Western world now faces. So, I want you to listen to this, okay? The powerful, rich world of Christianity, and then he put emphasis on America, especially America, is made to seem as immovable as the mountains. What you mean? America is present in all the seas, right? She's present. She has a presence on all the continents, right? She is, with her imperial bravado, saying we are going to be there for some time, for the foreseeable future. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. That's bravado. She understands the time. She understands what is against her. But she can't give up her poker face because she understands that when the nation senses her weakness, they're going to pounce on her just like the scripture says. And brothers and sisters, I know that I'm giving you as much energy as I can right now, that I have a strained side. So whenever I'm talking to you, you know, it hurts real bad. So I want you to forgive me for that, but I'm on my post, okay? Listen to what it says. The powerful, rich world of Christianity, especially America, is made to seem as immovable as the mountains. We're not going nowhere. We're redeploying to Europe. We're going to deploy on Russia's borders. We're going to redeploy 65% of all of our advanced weapons to Asia, the Asia-Pacific region. And we're going to surround China because she's being aggressive. That's what she says, right? Right? That is to make the people believe that America is still the most dominant power. And because the propaganda machines continue to beat that in your head, you still believe that America is the most powerful nation. You still believe that she's the richest nation. You still believe that she's the most influential nation. That's what Muhammad says when he says, especially America is made to seem as immovable as the mountains. Then Muhammad gives you something. But it is not impossible to remove mountains. What? What do you mean, Muhammad, it's not impossible to remove? He says, they can be removed by high explosives. What is the dynamite or the nuclear or the neutron bombs that you're going to use to remove the mountain? What are the explosives that you use, Muhammad? Muhammad says it in the next verse. He says, so wealth and power can also be reduced to nothing. So to remove the mountain that is America and to remove the mountain over the world that is white or Western hegemony, God goes to the base of their power and removes the currency, the purchasing power. He goes to the base of their power and destroys their trade. So now they're deficit spending. And so now debt continues to mount. And so they must continue to blow up all of these economic bubbles. But someday the bubble will burst because the bubble does not have an infinite area to expand. Right? When it reaches its maximum skin pressure, it pops, right? So Mama says, we are now living in the judgment or doom of the white man's world. And so the white man sees this, and so what he thinks he can do is, I'm going to destabilize these nations. I'm going to assassinate the leaders. I'm going to put in my leaders, and they're going to call for me to deploy troops to their country. So I'll justify myself in that, and I'm going to deploy my troops on every strategic waterway, every strategic trading ground, every the most used strategic land routes. And she calls it a great game. The book called The Great Game. I'm not lying. She calls this a great game, even though it affects billions of people's lives and livelihood. She calls it a game. That shows you the depths of how evil and wicked her mind is. Your life and the security of your life is a game, but she'll play it so long as she believes that she has the power to reign supreme. Right? Mama says, preparations have been made to meet every effort by the white man to oppose the beginning and setting up of a large new world of righteousness. Stop right there. So, with that said, we understand that at the base of this mountain, this so-called global juggernaut, America, which is actually the weight-bearing pillar or wall for white or Western hegemony. God lays at the base of it what? Debt. He lays at the base of it, he removes her manufacturing capacity. He laid at the base of it, she is not a net creditor, but she is a borrower. For everything that she does, she has to borrow. You understand? So sooner or later, the spigots, the water spigots will be turned off. She can't give her own economic world anymore because her industrial base has been removed. So this is what they have to say here. Okay? This is about 6 minutes. And then we'll see about these economic bombs, these nuclear bombs, these hydrogen economic nuclear bombs that have been laid at the base of American and Western powers, and how now they are starting to explode, just like those bombs that were placed at the foundation of the 911 towers. Allah had already placed thermite, economic thermite, and nuclear fission bombs at the base of American power and hegemony, and at the base of Yaqub's world. Listen.
So what do you see as the catalyst for popping this bubble?
Again, I think it's going to happen in the dollar. And the reason I think so is I think that the Fed will keep blowing air into the bubble until the dollar cracks. Because the way the Fed keeps everything propped up, the real estate market, the stock market, the bond market, the whole economy, the reason the U.S. government can keep spending money is because the Federal Reserve keeps printing it. But the key is, at some point, that money won't have any value. And that's what ends it. Because in order to prop up everything else, the Fed is sacrificing the dollar. Now, right now, they keep printing money, and the dollar's value hasn't collapsed. So they can keep printing more. And they're going to keep printing more and keep running deficits until the dollar collapses. Because until the dollar collapses, there's no reason to stop. I mean, why end a good thing? Why rain on your own party, right? So they're going to wait for a crisis. Only this is going to be much worse than the financial crisis of 08, because this is going to be a U.S. dollar crisis, which means it's also a sovereign debt crisis, U.S. Treasury bonds, because Treasury bonds are just IOU dollars into the future. And the big difference is when the crisis is the dollar, the U.S. government can't do anything to bail anybody out, because all they can do in a crisis is print more dollars. But if the dollar is the crisis, then printing more just throws gasoline on the fire. So this next crisis that's coming, no bailouts, no stimulus. Everybody is going to have to pay the piper when we have a dollar crisis. And believe me, the bill is going to be huge.
You see them raising interest rates?
Eventually, yes, when they have no choice. But they're not going to raise interest rates until they have to, because the minute they raise interest rates, everything collapses. You know, and when they raise interest rates, that's when the U.S. government has to confess that it's broke and it has to start cutting spending. Hey, we can't do any of these programs. In fact, we have to cut back on the programs we already have because we don't have any money and we can't get it from the Fed anymore because the Fed is no longer in the business of printing money. The Fed is in the business of shrinking the money supply. It's trying to fight inflation. So it's destroying the money it already created. It's raising interest rates. So I think in that environment, not only can't the government borrow new money, it can't even repay the debts that it already owes. It can't even make the interest payments. Because remember, the bonds are all short-term. So the T-bills, when they mature, they got to roll them over. Well, they won't have the money. So the government's going to default. That's what's going to happen. Just like subprime borrowers, when they couldn't make the payments, they defaulted. The U.S. government is a subprime borrower, too. Without the Fed, all its checks bounce. You know, and if it doesn't have the Fed, then it defaults. And so it's one or the other. It's either hyperinflation or default, you know. So you decide.
Pick your poison. So for an average investor, they should be looking at what now?
Well, alternatives to the U.S. investments, alternatives to the U.S. dollar. You know, look at some of the foreign markets, both developed and emerging, which I think the emerging markets are, you know, going to be a little rockier, you know, bumpier, but give you more long-term gain as the whole world, you know, moves past the U.S. dollar, and the U.S. dollar is no longer the reserve currency. But you need to have very unconventional portfolios, because this is a very unconventional outcome that the establishment is not prepared for. They're going to be blindsided by it, like 08, like 2000, only the Fed's not going to be there to bail them out. That was what happened. If you were completely wrong, if you were completely oblivious to the problems that caused the 2008 financial crisis, it was okay because the Fed bailed you out and you ended up making money anyway. But it's not going to work this time. So you got to bail yourself out prematurely. And that's what I'm doing, right? If you're interested in, you know, having me help you implement the strategies, then, you know, go to Europe Pacific Capital's website or my mutual fund website, Asset Management Company. This is my company here in Puerto Rico, Europe Pacific Asset Management, and epacfunds.com is the website for my asset management company. And you can speak to one of my representatives about the strategies and how we can work them into your portfolio. I have 5 proprietary mutual funds that could actually be bought anywhere, or you can have them in specialized wrap accounts that we manage at my company. Mm-hmm. And I have separately managed accounts of individual stocks and bonds that we manage all overseas, international investments.
So what happens to the United States and its currency of the dollar?
Well, the dollar is going to get marked down. I mean, look what happened to the dollar in the 1970s. The dollar lost 70% of its value, 80%. I mean, prices went way up. That's why gold went from $35 an ounce to $800. That's why oil went from $3 a barrel to $30 a barrel. I mean, the price of everything went up in the 1970s. And in fact, because money lost so much value, that's why so many women started to work. If you go back to the 1960s and you look at the typical American family, the housewife didn't have a job. I don't care what job the husband had, butcher, baker, candlestick maker, right? Fireman, policeman, teacher. His wife didn't have a job. That one paycheck was enough, had enough buying power to support the entire family, right? But by the end of the 1970s, early 1980s, that paycheck had been so diminished by inflation. And all of a sudden, the guy couldn't support his family anymore. His wife had to go get a job. That really was the beginning. You know, people want to say, oh, it was women's liberation. No, it wasn't. Women were liberated when they didn't have to work. That's liberation. When you're forced to work, that's when you lose your liberty. You don't have a choice. You got to leave your kids at home, and you got to go out and work because your husband can't support you anymore. And that was a big change, you know. And so I think we're going to see another substantive change this time, where we wipe out retirement. I said earlier, no one's going to be retired anymore in America. Everybody's going to be working because no one has any savings that are going to have any purchasing power.
Yeah, kind of. And what's your upbeat prediction?
Well, my upbeat prediction is that maybe this crisis will be a catalyst, and this is maybe wishful thinking, but maybe a catalyst to cause America to understand finally the root cause of its problems.
So you see what he said, he talked about this, and it's amazing that he was talking about that, and as he got to that point right there, I was opening up the book, Fall of America, and opened it right to where the messenger said that the crisis, in so many words, going to force this white man to reevaluate, going to force you to reevaluate your situation. He says, Elijah Muhammad says, and I wasn't even looking for this. This is the whole thing about it. So he says, many scientists think that it is too late for this demand because of the anger of Allah against America for her evil done to us. What demand? Talk about giving us a home that we can call our own to separate us. For the white man to give it, not for you to go purchase it, because we've already paid for the land in blood, sweat, and tears. We've already paid for it. Our sacrifice, our death, our free labor, that paid for the land. Mama says, but Allah has power over all things, and he does that which he wills to do. It is up to America, not up to you. It is up to America if she wants to help us. It would be a great good putting us on the way to self by any evil one or nation. The God of justice would grant them a reward for doing such, as no good act goes without its reward. They deceive the so-called Negro under temptation, filth, and decency, and they promise that they will be given jobs and new homes next door to them in the same territory which their very nature is against and which is without any future. It is temporary enjoyment. We want something permanent. give us a few of these states. Not go purchase. This is what he says. Keyword, give. I'm going to show you something. Because a lot of us, we have good intentions, but we have a misunderstanding. Okay? Meaning of, listen. G-I-V-E. Okay? According to the dictionary, the word give. And now this does not imply inaction, brothers and sisters. Because some of you, when I say this, you take this the wrong way. Well, we got to go. Listen. Calm down. Breathe. And just listen. I'm not pushing inactivity. I'm just saying the greater promise is delivered by God himself. Okay? All right? Some of you can barely pay your bills. Listen to what he says. The word give. The definition means, right, freely transfer the possession of something to someone or hand over to. That's the word give. Now, that word is used a lot in what the Muslims want and what the Muslims believe, the definition of it. Listen to what it says, to give. Freely transfer the possession of something to someone or to hand over to. Cause or allow someone or something to have something, especially something abstract. Provide or supply with. To hand over. To allow. To permit. To grant. To accord. To offer. To show. To display. Okay? So, he says, the God of justice would grant them a reward for doing such, as no good act goes without its reward. They deceive the so-called Negro under temptation, filth, indecency, and a promise that they will be given jobs and new homes next door to them in the same territory which their very nature is against and which is without any future. It is temporary enjoyment. We want something permanent. Give! That, and he put that in bold, he put it in big letter. All right? Give us a few of these states to live into ourselves, which we have well earned for 400, with 400 years of free labor. Stop right there for a minute. We've earned it. I'm going to ask you, brothers and sisters, this question here. And then I'm going to get to the point, okay, to the other thing that I'm trying to get to. Stop for a minute. If you go to Walmart and you go to their furniture section or their electronics section, and you pay for this 75-inch TV, I guess that's a TV today, and this thing costs $6,000-$7,000, right? And there's a due date for you to receive that, a delivery date, and you have receipt of purchase, okay? Do you go and buy that TV again? Do you go and repay for that TV? Either you believe that what you paid was sufficient for it, and you stand on your legal rights, or you act a fool and think that you are smarter than the divine laws that has been laid out. I'm asking you these things. But see, I'm going to open it up real to you, because a lot of you don't understand. So today we'll give you understanding by the grace of Almighty God, Allah, and through his messenger. But let's go further. He says, when who sees, he's talking about this white man. I want you to pay close attention to this, because you just heard from that man. When he sees his life and your life are at stake to try to accept the present plans filled with deceit to the Negro, both you and he will welcome an opportunity to agree on the kind of program. What program? What Muhammad, what the Muslims want, right? And what the Muslims believe. That's coming. Just like it happened in Moses' time. Pharaoh had to be beaten. He had to be destroyed. He had to be chastised and brought to his knees in disgrace, poverty, without anyone to rely on. Muhammad says, America fits the description of ancient Babylon and ancient what? Egypt. So for us to get an understanding of what we should expect today, one must do a thorough examining us, and then two, what led to the downfall of Babylon and ancient Egypt, and how were the people brought out of that? Okay? Don't get mad at you, brother. I'm talking to you with love. With love and respect. I'm serious. I love my people. So we see that Peter Schiff said, when the guy asked him, well, if you have a good scenario, what would be that? And Peter Schiff said, hopefully, with all of this stuff happening, and I'm paraphrasing, maybe America can see and start examining what got them there. Isn't that what Elijah Muhammad just said? When the chastisement weighs down on America's back, she's going to be forced to. See, because America right now, she still thinks that she wields power. But there's no greater power than the divine supreme power. And he wants to make himself known as that by forcing her to bow her knee. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. Right? That's not an instant scripture. That is real. And we're living in a day that is being manifested right in your eyes. You believe, you see it with your eyes, yet you wouldn't like it a lot. It is a very beautiful time to be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. Now, I want you to listen. This is about the same amount of time, about this inflation that is ripping America. And look at the conversation that is being had between the white man and the white woman and the white man and the white man and the white woman and the white woman. Listen to the conversation. And look at how they are even perplexed and plagued and confused over the policies of the Fed. See, the scripture told you that God would have them in derision. They're in economic and political and geopolitical derision, social derision. That's why their society is collapsing. That's why their grip and rule on global governance is collapsing and in decline. Listen to what they say about the situation. But they hate to say depression, so they say recession. And they say inflation. Okay? Pay close attention.
Portable TV. Come watch with me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Rick Sanchez. So about a year ago, no, actually, it was more like a year and a half ago, we here on this newscast began doing stories where we reported with interviews like people like Reagan economic advisor David Stockton, who came on this newscast and warned us that our fiscal policy was going to lead to inflation, maybe even hyperinflation. We reported this during the Trump administration when they were lowering interest rates to zero for apparent political reasons, through the COVID giveaways, and now through the Biden giveaways that stand on top of the Trump COVID giveaways. So the question obviously is, look, how can all this free money out there not lead to inflation, we asked. Well, apparently it was a pretty good question because economists are now saying it's here. Our correspondent is Rachel Blevins.
If you've been to the grocery store or put gas in your car recently, you've likely seen it. Prices are up all around, and they're rising at their fastest annual rate in nearly 13 years. The latest Consumer Price Index report from the U.S. Labor Department shows that in June, prices increased 5.4% from the year before, marking the largest year-over-year increase since August 2008, when the U.S. was on the verge of a financial crisis. The recent surge includes skyrocketing prices in the auto industry, where car and truck rentals are up nearly 88%. The price of used cars and trucks, as well as gasoline, are also up more than 45%. Travel, hotels, and public transportation have seen prices increase as lockdowns are lifted across the country and Americans start to spend once again. The increase in demand has fueled shortages across the board, adding to the surging prices. But economic analyst Octavio Morenzi says he believes these prices aren't going anywhere anytime soon.
I think as this recovery carries on gaining steam and carries on making people feel more comfortable, they're more likely to spend more money and take on more debt and spend even more. So I think we're going to see a continued increase in demand from the U.S. consumer, and that's going to affect prices right across the board. I don't think it's a question of just simply a transitory phenomenon. I think it's going to be here for a good long time to come.
Meanwhile, the Federal Reserve has been forced to admit that inflation has risen by more than it expected this year. But officials like Chairman Jerome Powell continue to say they believe it will only be transitory. For the news with Rick Sanchez, Rachel Blevins, RT.
Transitory. Okay. Joining us now is Debbie Bloyd. She is the CEO of DLB Financial Services. I told you we were going to get you back. So glad you're there,
Thanks.
Debbie.
Thanks. Nice to see you.
Likewise. So, he says transitory. You say what?
Long transitory. A long time. This isn't going away anytime soon.
It's ridiculous. I mean, you have stories. I have stories. I think everybody watching this newscast has stories of something they've gone to buy recently, and the price is so jacked up. It's at least 50, sometimes almost 100% higher than they would have paid a year or 2 years ago. What gives?
Exactly. Well, I think demand is always going to be there. We're always going to want more than we can afford. That's just the American way, right?
Right.
But the problem is it's costing more because of shortages, because of what the government did to us last year, shutting down all these pipelines, shutting down window manufacturers, lumber manufacturers, all the plants. So there's a real crimp. There is a crimp in the system, and we're trying to get all those numbers back up, but it's slow go. The other problem is their calculations of addition and percentages is all wrong. When you throw out cars, gas, and food, well, I mean, like the number can't even be right when you throw all those things out. That's like half an equation. You know, it's not going to – it doesn't compute at all.
Isn't the real problem that the market is just too flush with cash? I mean, when you basically send checks to everybody – and I'm not saying some people didn't need them because COVID was a very serious situation, but it almost seems like, you know, Obama threw money at the problem. Trump threw tons of money at the problem. At least with Obama, you can argue, well, we were really in a really serious situation with the meltdown. I don't know about the first years of the Trump administration, why he was doing it. Now Biden comes along, and he's going to trump Trump, and he's putting money on top of Trump's money. How much money can you get out there without this happening, right?
You're already maxed out. You know, the more money you print, the less it becomes worth. And so it's costing us more of those fake dollars that are going out there. And those people are not always spending it on housing and food and gas. They're spending on big screen TVs and new shoes and bags, you know. So, you know, it's whatever their family wants. So it's not going to, you know, the nuts and bolts of our American economy. It's going to extravagances because that's what we're about.
So the only way to somehow bring this down is to start punishing consumers for spending. And the only thing I could figure that might make that happen is, I imagine, start raising interest rates. If you could borrow money at zero or nothing percent almost, you're going to continue to do it until money becomes more expensive. Is that the move you think the Fed needs to make next? Do you see it coming?
Well, yeah, because we talked about this last year in the mortgage industry, how rates are going to go up anyway. They can't stay at next to nothing forever. We never thought they would get this low. I remember when 5.5 was a great rate, and now
yeah.
I've got people saying, well, I'd really like a 2%. Can I get 2%? You know, and I'm like, well, yeah, you can, you know, and you can get even 1% if you want to buy down your rate.
Right.
So people are getting used to cheap money, and it's not going to stay cheap for long. So we always knew it was going to go up. It's going to be much higher by the end of the year. It's not going to double, but it's going to be at least another half a point, quarter, 75% of a point up.
And with that, we're out of time. But, hey, thanks for coming back. We appreciate you.
So, with that said, I'm going to keep this clip, and I'm going to play it on part three because there's something to this clip about the inflation and the math, and I want to address that on the next show. But I'm going to try to address a little bit of it. I know the time is sensitive right now, but if we go over time, please do not answer your phones. Please do not log off your URL. Just stay where you are. Don't accept you. If somebody's beeping on your phone, don't click over because you might get clicked off, okay? And I just want to address a few things at this moment. She says the math is all wrong. The numbers are all wrong. It doesn't compute. What the government is doing and what the government is saying, none of it computes, right? She sees a dollar decline. The purchasing power of the dollar, and we're going to address that on the next show, the purchasing power of the dollar. But what's even more, right? She understands that the policies that are enacted by the government are self-destructive for the American government. And as we look at these policies that are being enacted by the government, remember what Peter Schiff said on the clip prior to that? He said if interest rates go up a few points or a point or so, then that's game over. Why? Because the debt servicing of America, see, she serviced her debt, right? And America has close to $1 trillion or something like that, like $700 billion, that she pays on the interest of her debt. And if interest rates go up, see, she's caught in the catch-22. And if the interest rates spike up, that's why she's only just doing little bit by little bit, a quarter of a base point, or one-eighth of a base point, blah, blah, blah. That's why she's moving it like that, because if she moves up to a few base points, as Peter Schiff said, boom goes the dynamite. Because America would be, she would have to either inflate her debt away, hyperinflation, or openly declare that she's bankrupt and she has defaulted on her debt and she would be no longer a superpower. And then you would have fire sales on bonds. You would have fire sales on her strategic assets, the same way she went over in the former Soviet republics and borrowed all that stuff up when they went belly up. The same way she did in South and Central America and the way she did in Africa, it's coming to her, so Muhammad says. As thou hast done, so shall it be done unto thee. Someone is about to take away your enjoyable independence. The white race here in America has done the worst to the black people who helped the white man to build up the country of America and to make it suitable and to bring in this enjoyable independence that she always bragging about. Muhammad says, but the white race in America has angered God. Uh-oh, that's the wrong person you want to get mad. That is the wrong person that you want to have to put out them things on you, like they said in the streets. You don't want to fist box God. That's an unwinnable fight. So it says, and I'm drinking a lot of water. My side is hurting, but I heard it doing my martial arts and stuff, but listen. It says, and sneezing, but it says, but the white race in America has angered God due to the evil done to us after our 400 years here under the white race. The white race still desires to mistreat and to kill us all the day long. I'm getting to something, so bear with me. The white man hates his black slave, while the black slave should be hating the white man for mistreating the black slave. But the white man made the black slave to love him so well that when the white man mistreats him, the black slave will not dislike the white man for mistreating him. Now, not yesterday, but now, the time of God has arrived. The time that Allah must, not you, not me, not we, not us. Now, the time of God has arrived. The time that Allah must. See, must means it is incumbent upon him, right? It is a job that he has to do. Why? Because he promised it through the mouths of his prophets and apostles. So it is binding on God to do this. So it says, so now the time of God has arrived, the time that Allah must separate the black slave and his white slave master and bring freedom to the black slave. How does he do that when the white slave master has such a mental and economic and political hold on him and a cultural hold on him? You break every one of the chains. Right? If the white man has no economic, he's going to be worried about himself eating. Right? If he has no political arm, he can't influence you. If he doesn't focus on you, he can't use his media machine to influence your culture. So God is breaking all of the chains that bind you to him. So listen to what it says. So we see the power of our enemy being broken by God under the power of the white man. Power to maintain his sway over the whole world. Stop right there. That right there is a kicker. Listen to this again. Some of you read it over and over again, but I want you to listen to it from this perspective, okay? So we see the power of our enemy being broken by God and destroying the power of the white man. Well, how is he doing that? Muhammad says, And what power is being broken? Mama says, power to maintain his sway over the world, the whole world. How is this being done? She is alienating her enemies and allies. She has gone too far politically and geopolitically and militarily around the globe. Yes, her military might and her military machine everywhere. This costs money.